Welcome everybody to the Script Doctor Podcast. My name is David.
And my name is Casey, and we're your hosts.
And we're here because we love movies and TV shows, and frequently they are very disappointing.
So we created this podcast to discuss and try to fix them. Now I know what you're thinking. Are they real doctors?
No, we're not.
In fact, David and I have bachelor's degrees in business, and boy has that got us so far.
And you may be wondering if we're in the entertainment industry.
No, we are just two friends that are passionate about movies and TV shows and talk about how they could be better.
Testing. Here we are, about to record Star Wars The Force Awakens. David?
I'm not ready for this.
You've said that like 10 times in the last hour.
Yep, that's still true.
It's okay. You get to get all the things off your chest.
There's not enough time for that.
Okay. Hey everyone, I'm Casey.
I'm David.
And we're here with episode 2, Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh man, okay. So we always knew that we're going to be covering bad movies on this podcast, and here we go. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I thought I was ready for a bit there, and no, I was wrong. I am not ready, because these movies for me are really exhausting.
David is an original Star Wars fan.
Yes.
And very much loves 5, 6, and 7, is that what it is?
4, 5, and 6. There's Star Wars A New Hope, which came out in 1977. Uh-huh. Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, which came out in 1980. And Star Wars The Return of the Jedi, which was in 1983. So, I'm...
Oh, well, before I was even born.
Before I was born, too. Oh,
like, right. I thought you were born, like, 100 years ago.
1865.
Got it.
Okay. Right at the end of the Civil War.
Okay. Well, I do love Star Wars, but I am no fan like David is. I enjoy them, but I do agree with David on several things with these movies.
Let's state this at the outset about like where we stand on this, which is to say the sequel Star Wars trilogy episodes 7, 8, and 9 are bad. They're not okay like say Captain Marvel was. Mm-hmm. They're bad.
They're quite literally soft reboots of the original three
in ways that don't really work too.
Yeah,
I mean it's real bad. What we're gonna see as we kind of explore these three films over the next few episodes, they put these new characters from these movies into identical scenes, but they don't understand the context of those scenes from the original trilogy. And so it just kind of changes the entire meaning of the scenes altogether. And as a result, it just looks like, at best, a copy, and at worst, just poorly written fluff.
A parody.
Like, like, I'm not kidding. Like, there are a few scenes here that are just like, are they trying to troll us? Like, are they trying to mess with us? So
David, how did you feel when you first saw Force Awakens?
For realsies, when I actually saw Force Awakens for the first time, I was hyped. I loved it. I had a great time. I was happy. I was ecstatic. I was, like, talking to people. And I was telling people, like, dude, have you seen The Force Awakens? You need to get in on that and watch that film because it's good. And over time, and just as the movie has aged, it came out in 2015, and the sequels have come out and all that, and just the movie has aged very, very poorly. It has aged like milk.
Ew.
Yes, it was the right word. Like, it gets worse the more, like, I think about it. Truly, the kindest thing I could say about it is that it is a retread of A New Hope, almost beat for beat, scene for scene, and in some points, shot for shot, of Star Wars A New Hope, the very first original film that came out in 1977.
Yeah, but in HD.
But in 4K HD.
Yeah.
And it just is really kind of sad. It's a movie by committee, as in J.J. Abrams and Disney wanted to make a Star Wars film, and they were like, what's the safest thing?
They wanted to follow up with Star Wars because how popular it was, and George Lucas was just like, no, I don't want to continue. So they're like, okay, we'll give you several billion dollars.
$4 billion.
Yes. And he's like, all right, cool. Here you go.
Basically, he handed the reins over to this company. Disney, of course, wants to make bang on their buck. And then they made this movie for several hundred million dollars. They did some really safe stuff. The decisions that dominate this whole thing is just weird. I mean, let's also say this. Disney had no overarching plan as far as, like, the storyline went.
But like, David, Disney makes dreams come true.
They also make nightmares come true. Because, like, I live in a waking nightmare in which most of the Star Wars movies are now bad films.
And now you wish you had not seen the sequel trilogy.
Well, if I had not watched them, I wouldn't understand where Star Wars is now, and I'd rather be informed than ignorant. But, like, if I could somehow make it so that the sequel trilogy had never been made, oh, I would do that. Oh, in a moment, I would do that. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that. I'm just me. So, I'm not Thanos. That might be what I do with Infinity Gauntlet. I might, like, snap away
the sequel trilogy.
The sequel trilogy. And, like, erase it from everybody's memories. Just, like, erase it from existence so that it never happened. Mm-hmm. And then pray to God that, like, the next version is way better.
Okay, well, let's get into the movie.
Oh, God, here we go.
So we are going to try and go along and tell you about this movie for those of you who have not seen Force Awakens. Bless your heart.
Yeah.
I feel like it's mostly going to be just saying what's wrong for the most part. Like, we are going to try and explain, but, like, there's just so many things to get off our chests.
Yeah. Again, if you saw the very first Star Wars, A New Hope, like, you have a pretty good idea what happens in this movie.
When I originally saw this movie, David, like, the sequel trilogy in general, I had not seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 at all. And
right.
I'll never forget, I was in the theater with my dad and my brother, and we were watching Rise of Skywalker, and I was so confused the entire time. And I was like, who are the Sith? It was disgraceful. But I get it now. I get it.
Good for you. I'm glad you see the error of your ways and all that. But
you convinced me to watch the...
Yes, I did.
...originals, even though they were not in HD.
No, they weren't.
Couldn't focus.
Your baby eyes couldn't handle it?
No.
Because you were born 3 years ago?
Yeah, basically. But I watched it, and they were good, and here we are.
Here we are. Okay, so Star Wars The Force Awakens opens up a lot like A New Hope. There's a big shot of a ship kind of looming over a planet, and it looks big and imposing. Then we see a shot of some men in armor that are apparently stormtroopers in slightly more updated armor. Looks slightly sleeker. And they go down to a village, and they just shoot up the place and all that kind of jazz. There's a dude there with another droid that does some booping noises. Christopher Plummer is there, rest in peace. And he gives some dude, Oscar Isaac, this little data chip or whatever.
AKA Poe.
And he gives this to his droid friend and tells his droid to run away or whatever.
BB-8.
A soccer ball. And
she was so cute, though.
The rolling droid or whatever.
She was so cute.
Sure. And he rolls away. And then the stormtroopers raise the village, shoot up everybody, and this figure walks out of this dropship. It's a figure in a mask, cloaked figure in a mask, and...
Looking like somebody familiar.
Looking like somebody important. Mm-hmm. I half expected some heavy breathing to be coming out of that mask. It didn't happen like that.
And it happens to be the greatest character this entire film and sequel trilogy sees.
For the last minute and a half, we've been joking around about, like, making fun of this movie, but, like, mm-hmm. Casey's entirely serious, and I agree that, like, Kylo Ren, Adam Driver, is the single best character in this entire trilogy.
He's beautiful inside and out.
He's carried this franchise.
Yes.
For every single movie.
He was so good.
He was really good. The material he was given was not great, but he made it, like, he made me believe it. Like, he made me be like, oh, yes, Kylo Ren. Oh my god, this guy is so compelling. And that's kind of sad. Like, this is it. Like, this is it. If you don't like Kylo Ren, you're probably not going to like much else about this movie. Bad news, sorry.
And there might be something wrong with you, but that's your issue, not ours.
For realsies, though, we love Adam Driver, so we're really glad to at least see something.
Adam Driver, also yes. Kylo Ren, also... Ben Solo.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
And he slaughters the old villager that gives Poe the data thing and tells him, hey, you suck, Kylo Ren. Then Poe, instead of running away, even if it's into the desert, he gets caught, gets taken to the ship, he gets tortured for information. Kylo Ren, like, uses the Force, I guess, to, like...
read his mind.
To read his mind or something, and to, like, forcefully take it.
And he finds out that the information is in the droid.
In the droid. And then one of the stormtroopers, who was on the planet, it looks like he just kind of hesitates to do anything to the villagers, just kind of decides that he wants to defect or something. He decides he's going to free Poe. And this person called FN2187 or whatever, he helps Poe escape.
He basically has, like a come-to-Jesus moment where he's just like, I should help this guy.
Wouldn't it have been fun to explore how he, like, got to that decision? Even if it's, like, through a minute
of dialogue. We don't have time for that, David.
We don't have time for good dialogue in this movie.
So, yeah, he breaks him out, and they steal one of the ships and land back on Jakku.
Poe gives him a name, Finn, and Finn is suspiciously okay with shooting as other stormtroopers, but whatever.
Yeah, it's not like he spent his entire life getting to know these people, even if they are stormtroopers.
And it's not like he also identifies with them, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, eh, it's fine. It's whatever, fine. Just slaughter them, it's fine. They know no other life, it's fine. Just put them under the misery.
So they crash land on Jakku. Finn wakes up, and he goes to find Poe. He's not there.
For some reason.
Yeah. And he assumes that he's dead. He finds his jacket and then goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut to a girl in a old ship.
A ship.
An old Empire ship, right?
Yeah, old Empire ship. An old Star Destroyer. And she's, like, taking it apart or, like, scavenging some things from it. Yeah.
She's getting a few pieces, slides down, makes her way back to town.
With a nice little musical piece. This is, like, the only musical score in the entire trilogy, sequel trilogy, that I actually like is, like, race themed. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's the one memorable musical thing, originally musical thing that, like, comes from the sequel trilogy, is that little part. That's it. That's it, guys. That's, like, that's the best I can say about the sequel trilogy. That's the best thing I can say.
They didn't come for music, David.
Maybe.
So she makes her way to town. She starts to sell those pieces.
She sells them. She apparently gets food in return for this. So she doesn't get money.
A quarter portion.
Quarter portion.
Which basically equal to, like, a muffin? I mean, it's something.
I don't know. It's food.
Yeah.
That's the point. This person is insanely poor.
And we see her mark on a wall, which looks like she's been counting days.
For years. Like, it looks like she's been there for many years. She is living by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not talking to anybody. She's just kind of chilling.
Watching
the sunset.
And then she hears a droid.
In trouble, I guess.
Yeah.
And she decides to help, because I don't know why.
Why wouldn't you help a cute little droid like BB-8?
But why would Rey?
Why wouldn't you? I mean, it's the right thing to do, David.
This is going to be a defining character trait of Rey going forward, is that she just wants to do the right things.
Yeah.
She wants bad people to stop. So that's going to be one of the defining characteristics of Rey, is that she wants to do the right thing all the time. She wants bad things to stop. Now, you may be wondering, why does she feel that so badly?
She's just a nice person, David.
Apparently. It's just like, if I'm asked that question, all I can tell you is, I don't know why she holds those convictions so closely to her. She just does.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's the Force.
That's the Force, Casey. That's the answer to everything.
Yeah, the Force made it happen.
So she helps BB-8.
BB-8 sticks around with her.
Mm-hmm. And she's communicating with him, and basically that he's looking for his master, and top secret mission, and they go back to town, and...
She's offered a huge amount of food in exchange for this droid. Given what we know about...
60 portions, but like 60... full portions.
Full portions.
Which is a lot for her.
Which is a lot for her, like...
Set up for life.
And like, given what we know about this character, she should kind of take it. Like, she has no reason not to take this. Other than, like, it's the right thing to do to not take it.
And it's also a droid. It's not necessarily a human.
Yeah, so, like, why does she care?
She's nice, David.
She's just nice. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So she decides not to take it. Then Finn pulls up.
He's been wandering the desert.
Yeah.
And he drinks some dirty water.
Well, actually, what's that guy's name in the that gave her the portions?
Unkar Plot. Simon Pegg.
Yes. So... Right before this, he calls someone.
He tells some men to go get the droid.
Yeah. Then we see Finn come into play, and then BB-8 sees Finn, and he sees his owner's jacket, because Finn took his jacket, put it on in the desert for some reason.
But just before, but as this is happening, some people attack Rey to try to take BB-8, and she beats him up bad. Like, they stand no chance. She kicks the crap out of him.
Yeah.
She doesn't sweat at all. Except for the fact it's just a desert planet. She's just sweat a little bit.
But she's been there for days, years, David.
Yeah.
She's grown accustomed to it. It's fine.
Apparently. So they run into Finn.
BB-8 is just like, that's my master's
jacket.
Yeah.
And they just kind of... Finn tries to run away for some reason. Mm-hmm. And then they catch him. Finn explains that Poe's dead. And then, oh my god, it's the First Order. They start attacking.
Who's that?
I don't know. It's just... The bad guys.
They look like the Empire.
Yes, they do, for some reason. But they're not called the Empire. They're just called the First Order.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
Because reasons.
Because everything has changed, but nothing has.
Who said that, David?
Nobody we know.
That's actually a quote from Mark Hamill himself. How he described Force Awakens. Everything's changed. But nothing's changed, and I couldn't agree more with that quote.
Oh, God. So, the First Order attacks, and when they attack, they send, maybe two stormtroopers? Not even that. They just send some TIE fighters. They send two TIE fighters. They even send ground troops, which is kind of nuts.
But I guess they thought they were just going after a droid. I guess we gotta think about that. They didn't think they weren't going after people. They were going after the droid.
But that's also kind of the whole shtick is that they do nothing half measures. They sent an entire... They burned down a village just to get one piece of intelligence that they just could have sent Kylo Ren to go get.
Yeah.
So why not send that same dropship full of soldiers and just send it to...
They were on lunch, David.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were they off the clock?
Stormtroopers gotta eat.
Stormtroopers gotta eat. They all taking their nap.
They got things to do.
Stormtrooper things to do.
Yeah.
So just these two TIE fighters attack them, and Rey's like, let's escape on a ship.
What ship is that, David?
Oh, they escape on the Millennium Falcon. oh my gosh.
Where have we seen that before?
It's nothing. It's never appeared. This is the first appearance of some stupid rust bucket. Some rust bucket called
Millennium Falcon. The Lego set, it costs an arm and a leg.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm full of crap. That thing has been in... That's been in New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. It's been here for every single stuff, original three Star Wars movies.
But here they found it on Jakku, the planet where...
In the most backwater.
Yeah.
Imagine the most isolated part of North Dakota or Wyoming, the state that everybody forgets is a state. That's where you'd find Jakku, the planet that they're on.
Yeah.
And yet there it is. That's where happens the Millennium Falcon to be.
How did it get there, David? That's okay. It's a...
The Force did. The Force sent it there.
You're right.
So...
They escape on it.
And Rey...
Rey is the girl.
Rey's the girl. Played by Daisy Ridley. Mm-hmm. Woo! She is an excellent pilot. She is doing all kinds of fancy maneuvers... Even though this ship would usually...
At least when she first, takes off, though, she has a little bit of trouble.
At first.
Yeah.
But it sounds
she figures it out.
It sounds like the engines are, warming up or something, though. And yeah. It's supposed to have, a co-pilot, but she has no co-pilot. It's just her and Finn.
And he's manning the gun.
He manned the gun. Now, you may be wondering, how did Rey, who's just been scavenging all this time, learn how to fly a ship?
The Force.
The Force. Again, that's basically where we're at again. It's just the Force.
Mm-hmm. This girl who has been presumably on Jakku since, which we'll find out later. Spoilers. She's been there since she was about 5, at least when we see her in a flashback.
Yeah. By the way, if it hasn't been clear already, we're spoiling all these movies. So if you care about that kind of thing, please go watch the movies and come back.
Or you can just listen to us, even if you haven't watched it, it's fine.
Exactly.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. So Rey's an excellent pilot. Poe is okay at the gun.
You mean Finn?
Finn, whatever. Yes, Finn.
Yes.
John Boyega, that guy.
Yes.
I might just call him John Boyega so I can keep him straight in my head. So John Boyega.
I feel like Finn's easier, but okay.
Yes, so John Boyega is on the gun, Finn, and they escape after some very fancy flying by Rey. They fly out into the atmosphere. Rey starts complaining that she needs to get back to Jakku. and she also starts repairing the Falcon. She's does all this stuff about the Falcon. And then, oh my god, they get caught in some other ship. They get boarded, and it's Han Solo. Oh my god.
And Chewie, Chewbacca. What? Literally, like, I watched this video the other day of people who watched Force Awakens for the first time, and then that scene when Han Solo and Chewie just come out when he's with the gunners, both of them side by side, and like people are like literally crying and screaming, like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
I didn't cry, but I was pretty hyped. I was not like, oh my god.
Even though amazing. I had not seen the previous movies when I first watched Force Awakens, like, I was pretty hyped. I was like, hey, Harrison Ford.
I know, Harrison Ford's great. I just wish he liked being Han Solo more. He hates it.
It's okay. He's done.
He is done. He's fine. He'll be fine. Mm-hmm. He'll live with Calista Flockhart and it's fine.
So they board the ship. Somehow they find the ship so, like, so quick.
It just happens.
As soon as they get off of Jakku.
It's really weird. Like, it just kind of happens because this plot needs to keep moving. Yeah. We have no time for anything.
He found it with the Force, David.
Right, you're right. I'm sorry. Han Solo used the Force to find the ship. Oh, God. Han Solo doesn't have the Force, but he found the ship anyway. And then all of a sudden, oh, my God, some people who Han Solo is indebted to assault his ship. So now there's, like, two other groups of gangs that are there.
Basically, you got, like, the Yakuza and the Scottish Yakuza.
Yeah. Looks like the IRA or something.
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, then Rey releases an animal. And then this animal tries to kill Finn. But then she stops it because of good luck. And Rey is apparently super good at repairing the Falcon when they escape. And, like, knows more than Han Solo. Bear that in mind. She's so good at repairing things and including the Falcon that she's better at it than Han Solo.
She's been on this planet for most of her life.
Yes. She's one of the best pilots in the series already. And she's excellent at repairing things. And she's pretty good at fighting, I guess. So she has some serious skill, this Rey. Then they go from there, and they land on some planet looking for a person called Maz. And this is actually where we have a really cool character moment, where, like, Rey says that, oh, I've never seen so much, I didn't know there was so much green in the galaxy. Which, that was actually kind of nice. That was actually kind of endearing to me. I was like, oh. Yeah. I was like, oh.
And then Han looked at her, and he was just like, oh.
He's like, oh, that's actually kind of sad and pathetic.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me do something for this dum-dum.
The sweet girl.
Yeah, let me do something with this sweet girl.
And then he was just like, you know, we could use someone to work with us. Wouldn't pay much. I wouldn't be nice to you.
And he said, like, oh, Chewie likes you.
Really selling it.
But the subtext to that little scene is that, like, no, Han really likes her.
Yeah.
And just, like, that's like, maybe one of the best... That's probably, like, one of the better scenes in the entire movie, is that, like, that little thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good. And so from there, like, they go to this...
Cantina.
This cantina. And just like in A New Hope, the mentor figure takes our young heroes to, like, the cantina, and it's full of weird aliens, and there's music, just like in A New Hope.
And Maz yelled out in front of the entire cantina, Han Solo, where everybody turns. And it's not like they're on the run or anything.
It's not like I'm on the run. Oh, my God. I hope my friends don't do that to me if I'm ever on the run. Just, like, announce my name
in public. David Acosta?
Oh, my God.
That's not me.
Yeah, basically.
That's the Force.
Yeah, that's the Force. Then while they're there, Finn decides that he wants no part of this resistance shenanigans and all that. Rey is like, bro, what's your problem? Then she hears a voice. It leads her down to the basement. She opens a little chest, and there's... It's Luke's lightsaber that he got from Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan got it from Anakin from Revenge of the Sith.
Before we started recording this, guys, David told me that it was originally Anakin's lightsaber, and I had no idea. I was like, what? No, that's Luke's.
Yeah, and it's calling out to Rey for some reason. Mm-hmm. Then she grabs it and has a vision.
She kind of has a vision of the past.
That has nothing to do with her. A past that has nothing to do with her. She sees part of Cloud City. Where, like, Luke fought Vader, where he lost the lightsaber. She sees, presumably, what is Luke kind of, like, sitting by a fire with R2-D2. And then she sees what looks like Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, stabbing somebody. And it looks like he's saving her. And then behind him are some other people in armor and masks.
Yeah.
Which they never say for sure, but, like, I think we're safe to assume those are the other Knights of Ren.
It was basically, like, a vision of Luke Skywalker's memory. a vision of her past and possibly a vision of her future.
And she sees that for some reason.
Yeah.
And all this she gets from by touching this lightsaber, even though this lightsaber has absolutely nothing to do with her or at all. Her origin is still up to this point a mystery, so that, you know, it could have been revealed at some point that, like, she was, like, maybe related to the Skywalker on some sub-level, and, like, this lightsaber calling out to her might have made more sense. But nope. Mm-mm. This says, nope, she's unrelated to any of this.
Well, it seems like the lightsaber probably hasn't seen a Force being in a while, David. So it sends the Force!
Oh, this living weapon.
Yes!
Even though lightsabers and aren't alive and all that.
How do you know?
Well, that's kind of the thing. They're just weapons. They just kind of do their thing.
But they have, like, a special crystal in them. And you use the Force to make it, don't you?
You don't have to, but it's usually what you do.
Okay. Who knows?
We're stretching here.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the Force. But it freaks out Rey, and she runs into the woods for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, if she just needed some air, she could have just, like, hung out in the cantina.
She just wanted to be alone in the grass, David.
Apparently.
She needed a moment.
With her gun.
Also, prior to that, Finn had mentioned that he was part of the Resistance.
Yeah.
When he really wasn't, he was a former Stormtrooper now.
Right.
He basically just wanted to get away from the First Order.
Yeah, and it looks like he likes Rey. Like, he likes Rey. Asking about, does she have a boyfriend, all this kind of stuff.
That was kind of weird.
That was, yeah.
And then, like,
it has no
asking
payoff.
Her, like, oh, are you okay? After he was hurt and, like, she was totally fine. And she
constantly,
like,
and grabbing her hand a lot.
Yeah. He's like, here, I got you. And she's just like, I'm a strong, independent woman who doesn't need no man. Yeah. Whenever they're at the cantina, he basically tries to find a way to get out and get away and escape. And she was like, what are you talking about?
That's his character right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was like, what are you talking about? Like, you're supposed to help BB-8 get back to the Resistance. And he's like, if you're smart, yeah, you would get out too.
Yeah, he doesn't want anything to do with the war. It looks like his thing is just that he's afraid of the First Order. He just doesn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Good for him. That's his, like, arc right now. While all this has been happening, we've been cutting back from time to time, the movie has been, to, like, the First Order and stuff like that. So, and we learned that, like, Kylo Ren is apparently apprenticed to some person named Supreme Leader Snoke. You may be wondering who that is and where he's been.
We want to know, too.
Please like, comment, and subscribe. And let us know if you know where's this guy been?
When we were doing this, it's like, David, was Snoke in one of the other movies? Like, I don't remember him.
No. No, he wasn't. He's just some dude who just showed up. Because this movie needs an emperor figure.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just need a big bad guy. Because reasons. Reasons, Casey. Casey, it's for reasons.
I get it.
Right. They set up a rivalry between this one person, General Hux, who's just an officer in the First Order, and Kylo Ren, which that was interesting. If they followed up on that, they don't.
It's fine.
It's okay. I'm just dead inside. It's fine. And meanwhile, they've tracked the Millennium Falcon and the droid down to Maz's planet.
Wait, hold on. Before this, though, Starkiller Base.
Everything and nothing is happening.
There's many things going on here. Sorry if you're confused. We are too. But
basically,
whenever we have that scene, essentially they fire in this brand new looking Death Star, which was
massive.
Yes, much bigger than the original.
You know how the other one was just kind of a moon? This one's a planet Death Star.
The original could only shoot one at a time, one planet at a time, and they decided to test it out, and they shot five planets.
This is
the New Republic, right?
Yeah, this is the equivalent of, like, a 10-year-old writing this movie of just like, oh, one Death Star. Okay, gotta make it better. How about a bigger Death Star? Ha!
A big one.
A bigger one.
David, how'd they get the time?
I don't know.
They mentioned that it took 19 years to build the original Death Star. And this movie takes place like 30 years after the last one.
Uh-huh.
So they just picked up from scratch?
Uh-huh. This is kind of an ongoing theme, too. It's just like,
I thought they were destroyed in the originals. How'd they get the money?
Where'd they get the men? Where'd they get the material? Where'd they get the funding? Where'd they get the labor? Where'd they get the maintenance?
How did nobody see this being made?
Why didn't they do anything about it once they did see it being made?
Yeah. Because, like, when you see from the world that the cantina is on, they see those lasers going towards those planets, and they see the planets being destroyed.
Yep.
And it was very, very close to this planet. Good thing they didn't hit them.
Good luck. It's good news. But why did they hit them? The Force.
Because they wanted to show their power.
It's okay. It's plot armor. Because our characters are on Maz's planet, so they can't blow them up.
You're right. It's kind of like when you're watching an apocalyptic movie and, like, people are literally running from the world ending behind them, but somehow it doesn't catch up to them.
Thanks to the magic of CGI and all that?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, plot armor. So, they blow up the Republic. They attack this planet.
Maz's planet.
Kylo Ren finds out that the girl with the droid has fled into the woods. She chases after him. He chases after her, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
She's not chasing after him yet.
No.
That's in the next movie.
She's scurred.
Considering that she's been on this planet playing with staves and all that, how does she know how to shoot?
The Force?
Like, how does she know how to shoot so good? She's better than these
There's
professional
soldiers.
There's
so many soldiers. Questions. As to, like, Rey is a really good character, and she's very smart. She knows a lot of things. She's really good with technological stuff and piloting. And for a girl who's been on Jakku, this planet, and supposedly has not left at all until this moment.
Yep.
And how does she know how to do all these things? It's possible she just had one and practiced with it, but...
But we don't see that. We see that. No. Like, they could have just had, like, a gun, a blaster, just kind of laying around her house.
I think they just like guessing games. I don't really
know. Yeah, like, this movie wants us to write the movie for it. It basically is what it wants you to do.
Which is your least favorite thing to do.
Yeah, it just wants you to just, like, think about, like, oh, remember this in A New Hope? This thing is just, like, remember Darth Vader?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Luke Skywalker? Remember Han Solo? Remember the Millennium Falcon? Oh, man.
They were so cool.
Yeah, like, they want you to do that a lot. So they attack. Finn has a fight. Rey is captured by Kylo Ren, and he unhooks his mask to reveal smoldering Adam Driver. Yeah, he looks good in that. Good for him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they did his hair that day. They did his hair.
They surely did.
Yeah. And then he tries to probe Rey's mind like he did Poe, but then she resists him somehow?
First day on her Force job.
And then Kylo Ren goes back to Snoke and says, like, oh, Rey is strong with the Force or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
I think I can bring her to our side.
Yes, something like that. Meanwhile, Han reunites with Leia. They plan an attack on Starkiller Base. Instead of sending a larger fleet, they send, like, 12 ships. And then they attack, led by Poe. By the way, Poe's alive. Surprise!
The funny part, when Han and Chewie and Rey and Finn got to Starkiller Base, and he was just like, okay, where is this place that we need to go to shut off the little thing? And he was just like, oh, I was just in sanitation.
Isn't that funny?
What?
Ha-ha-ha.
Whoops. Couldn't have told us that earlier, sir?
Here's the thing. Rey had no trouble escaping. They could have not shown up and Rey would have been just fine. Like, she uses the Force somehow, makes one of the stormtroopers give her his gun and release her restraints, and it's Daniel Craig as stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm.
Hail Daniel Craig. He's great, even though he's not really credited in this movie. So then she escapes, they meet up again, and Han Solo is about to plant some explosives to help the fighters out. Then he meets Kylo Ren, Ben Solo,
on this little bridge.
They have a little conversation.
And you have Chewie in the background, and you have Rey and Finn up there basically waiting, and Han is trying to talk to Kylo Ren, which is his son.
Ben Solo.
Though we already know this is his son from earlier on in the movie, like, it's just revealed then to Rey that is his son.
Right.
And Finn.
Yeah.
And he's trying to talk to him and basically, like, get him to come back with them. And then you see the light, because where they're pulling the power from for the Starkiller base is from a sun.
Yeah.
And you see the light start to fade, and Kylo stabs Han with the lightsaber, kills him, and he falls off. It was so sad, David.
Did you get the metaphor? How the light was going away just as Kylo Ren? Yeah. Did you get it? Did you get this metaphor?
I got it.
So it's about the light side and the dark side. Did you get it?
I get it. But that's not the point. It's the point that he killed Han Solo. It was just so sad. And you hear Chewie get upset, and then he shoots at Kylo. And then Rey is just like, no. And, like, even though she had known him for, like, 22 hours.
Yeah.
But she was like, oh, no. My new father figure.
My would-be daddy.
Don't go that far, David.
My would-be dad, excuse me.
Yeah.
His, not daddy.
And it was just, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, Harrison Ford did want to get out of this, so.
Yeah, he didn't want to be in Han Solo anymore.
Yeah, so he kills them.
They escape into the snow.
Yeah.
Kylo finds them. He knocks out Rey. He has to fight with Finn. Mm-hmm. He slices Finn's back in half. Mm-hmm. It looks like he should be paralyzed.
Yeah. Well, definitely along the spine.
Yes. He looks super dead. And then he tries to use the Force to grab the lightsaber again. And then it doesn't go to him. It goes to, oh my god, Rey, who is using the Force to grab the lightsaber again. And then they have a fight. And Rey is doing some pretty good moves. And then at one point, Kylo has her on the ropes, and Dan is about to kill her. And he's just like, I can teach you ways of the Force. And then she's like, oh right, the Force, I remember that was a thing. Then she closes her eyes, seems to concentrate, and then proceeds to kick the crap out of Kylo Ren. Gives him a gnarly looking scar on his face, and then the Earth splits between them.
Because the planet is... The
planet's falling apart because, you know...
They're destroying
the weapon. And then they escape with Finn, with the map.
They go back to the Resistance.
R2 wakes up somehow.
There is...
Because reasons.
Before this, though, whenever they get off the Millennium Falcon, and you see the scene where Leia...
Oh, God.
Is looking at Rey. She has yet to meet Rey. And Chewie just walks past Leia, and she's staring at Rey, and then she goes and gives her a hug because of Han, and it's like, Han and Leia were a thing. Like, they had a son together. It was clear for whatever reason, they're no longer together, but, like, they still love each other. They have a son together, and she's known Chewie just as long as she's known Han. The fact that Chewie just walks past Leia and she doesn't go and, like, give him a hug. Like, they just lost. She just lost the love of her life and he just lost his very, very best friend.
At the hand of her son.
Yeah.
At the hand of their son.
Yeah.
And, like, and she mourns with this stranger.
Even though more or less she knows who she is, it's just, like, she definitely should have given Chewie a hug first. And then...
Yes.
She
can hug Rey.
Let me give
fine.
You a hug to Rey. But the fact that he just walked past and it's just like, they just lost somebody that they've had in their lives for years and years and years. Then, it's sad.
Then they get the map. They send Rey off to go find Luke in the Millennium Falcon. Then they see Luke there. He's looking somber as he kind of looks at Rey. And then...
And scene.
And scene. Roll credits. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
It was so good.
That was amazing.
So, we're just going to go ahead and jump into what we would change about the film. More so, the characters.
Yeah, I mean, basically it's the characters.
Yeah.
Like, if we're going to basically preserve the plot as is, fine. If it's going to be basically A New Hope, great. We just need to, like, change the context for some of these characters. For instance, Poe in this movie is just a great pilot, because I don't know why. He's just kind of there. He doesn't really grow... He doesn't really change.
He's so handsome, though.
Oscar Isaac is handsome. Mm-hmm. Good for him. Mm-hmm. And he just doesn't do anything, so... Sorry, bad news. In our version, we're just going to go ahead and let Poe die when they crash land on Jakku.
I'm sorry, you're going to let him die?
Yes, we're killing him.
David, he was so good in the film, though. Minus the part that he's even handsome. Like, he was so good. I liked his character.
Eh. Like, it's not going to help. That's the problem.
Okay.
Like, just kill him. And
well, we love you, Oscar Isaac. But
we do.
My You're friend here, David, wants you gone, so...
Just from this movie. We want you in other things, because you're a really talented actor. Just yes. Not in this movie. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So we'll just use that, and so Poe's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Finn, we need to give him a little more, like...
Purpose.
A little more purpose.
Whenever we see stormtroopers, we don't really see them as people, as a person. You just see them. And the fact that we get to see a stormtrooper take off his helmet and get to know someone...
It's a good idea.
Yeah. It's a good backstory, and they could have explored it further, but all we really get is that he was just taken when he was young and raised as a child soldier, and then goes in sanitation and goes into one battle, and he's like, I can't.
And he's super goofy. Like, he's a little too goofy in this movie.
Yeah, I just feel like it's fine for somebody to be funny, but, like, it just doesn't make sense for the type of life that he lived.
Right. But This guy should be a little more traumatized and hardened than, like, we actually see him.
But he's in sanitation. He's got to make jokes or something.
Apparently. Like, So to that end, we're just going to make this guy, like, he's one of the stormtrooper officers. Like, he's not, like, the senior stormtrooper. That's Captain Phasma. And he's certainly not an Imperial officer who wears a uniform. No, no, no. He's just one of the senior stormtroopers. We'll kind of make it clear through some dialogue that, like, he's done this kind of thing before. That, like, he's done this kind of, like, raid on that village at the beginning before. That he's, like, wiped out villages on his own before. That he's led those kinds of raids before. And that this time, he just can't handle it anymore. That, like, he's been having second thoughts. And we'll have some dialogue just basically saying, like, oh, yeah, I can't do this anymore. We'll have him talking to one of his other fellow officers, and then he just kind of says, like, nope, can't do it anymore. And then we have more or less what happens in the movie, where he just kind of escapes with Poe, gets renamed into Finn. From there, we'll just make sure that he's kind of a little more hardened as far as, like, you know, he's quick to a fight, because that's what he knows. He's a child soldier, so his solution to things is to go fight.
Right.
But make it so that he's still, like, trying to, like, cower away and not... He wants to run away from the First Order. He doesn't want to, like, engage with him. But, of course, the fact that he sees them blow up five planets, and then that Rey is in trouble, the first person he's made a connection to after leaving the First Order, aside from Poe, who's dead, sorry, would drive him to be like, hey, you know what? I need to get in the fight. I can't run away. And then we have him kind of complete that arc of just, like, going from guy who doesn't want to, like, be in this anymore to, like, person who, like, wants to make up for it. And then,
unfortunately, having to fight, like, his friends and his colleagues.
Yeah, and, like, make it clear, and at some point, you know, it would be nice if we just kind of acknowledge the fact that, like, he's upset that he has to fight fellow stormtroopers, yeah. Other people who were also taken as children, like,
and,
he
like,
was.
And, like, it's not their fault that they've been right. Essentially brainwashed to believe that what they're doing and the cause that they're fighting for is the right one.
But he's a soldier and he's got to do what he's got to do in order to fight this war.
Yeah.
So, you know.
This Star Wars.
Yes, exactly. And so from there we have just Han and Leia. They can more or less stay the same. We went back and forth as to whether or not they would stay together or for what purpose, like, would Han be serving? Like, why would Han be smuggling and stuff like that? And just, like, instead of just, like, those gangs finding them, it just may as well be the First Order. It really doesn't matter, like, who actually finds them entirely. Force Awakens, the way the movie makes it seem now is just, like, Han Solo's bad at smuggling. Let's just go ahead and make it so that, you know, just keep him a good smuggler. Because in this movie, he got caught in Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
He got caught by the two people who were chasing him. And that's not Han Solo. Han Solo would not be caught so easily.
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and have him just be good at it.
And also one thing we didn't get, like, is we don't see how Kylo Ren went to the dark side. Like, what brought him to that prior to being sent to Luke Skywalker to train?
Yeah.
And when we were going back and forth, it's like, well, most likely it's probably because Leia was off working with the Resistance, so she couldn't be home to be a good mom, and then Han was just smuggling or whatever, working, and he can't be home to raise his child.
Leia was busy trying to be a politician. Han was off possibly doing work for the New Republic or whatever, but, like, they'd both be away, and I could see them both being somewhat neglectful.
Yeah. It's not that they don't love their son, it's just that they're trying to save...
They're not the best parents.
Yeah.
Or they could be not the best parents.
We kind of wanted, and this is obviously tying into Kylo Ren, but, like, him basically being raised by whoever, a nanny, a friend, and everybody, like, oh, you're Ben Solo? You're Han Solo's son and Leia Organa's son? Like,
yeah, we wouldn't totally see this in this movie.
Right.
But, like, that would be, like, the central backstory of this, like, what this kind of thing is. And just, like, have maybe even Han and Leia, when they reunite, can have an argument about, like, you know, like, we should have done this, we should have done that, and then, like, why were you, and where were you, and, like, they can, like, have at each other a bit, just a moment, and just be like, why weren't you a good dad, but why aren't you a good mom, yeah, suck it, that kind of thing. Han Solo can go ahead and die, because we, you know, Harrison Ford doesn't still want to be a part of this franchise, it's fine, we'll help him. And then we come to Rey. Okay, if you hadn't gathered by what we think about already, she has too many skills. Way too many skills. She is...
I mean, we like her as a character, but it's just, like, realistically, being on this planet, not having left, as far as we know, it's just, like, how do you know all these things? How do you know how to pilot a ship? How do you know how to shoot a gun? How do you know how to talk all these different languages?
Oh, I know. She knows, like, 50 different languages.
She can speak to Chewbacca. She can speak to the droid.
She can speak to that thing that was attacking the droid.
Yeah. Like, she... And I kind of get... I understand that if she's been living on the planet, like, she would know his language.
She would at least know two or three languages.
Yeah.
Just because she would need to, just in order to survive.
But, and this isn't necessarily, like, a traveling type of pit stop.
Right. So
I mean, I'm sure there are people who do come by, but, like, realistically, I don't see...
They're there to go to leave. They're not there to stay.
Or they're there to sell their junk.
Right.
We'd still make her good with, like, technical things. I mean, she is, like, scavenging ships and whatnot.
The big flaw, I think, with Rey is just that she's not just strong with the Force, she's great at using the Force. Mm-hmm. She can use the mind tricks, she can use the Force, she can, like, grab things out of the air, she can use the Force to, like, all of a sudden, like, be really good at using a lightsaber. I didn't know that was a thing. Nobody knew it was a thing. And all of a sudden, and beat this person, Kylo Ren, who's, like, clearly been in combat. He's been trained by Snoke and by Luke Skywalker for years, and this person who's never held a lightsaber in her life can beat him. Even though he is wounded, yes, but that's not how the movie portrays it. He doesn't look very wounded. That's kind of the problem. Yeah. So instead, for Rey, also she's a little bit too kind, so we need to give a reason why she's so nice. So we're just going to give her a caregiver in the form of a person we're just going to call Auntie Susan. So this person, Auntie Susan, helped Rey when she was a 5-year-old or whatever, when she first got to the planet.
And took her in.
Took her in. Just kind of helped her how to learn how to fix things, taught her rudimentary piloting skills, and just taught her how to generally defend herself with her stick or whatever. That way we can have, you know, give our hero... She's great at two things. She's great at fixing things, great at, you know, fighting on the ground. But then she's also kind of maybe not as great as she was in the movie at piloting stuff. Mm-hmm. She's just kind of decent at it. In the same way that, like, we all can drive. That kind of thing. She just knows how to do it. She's not great at it, though. Just so we can kind of reel her in. And as far as, like, the Force goes... It kind of doesn't make sense that she does actually be Kylo Ren. And I don't think that really makes a ton of sense. It really undermines our villain. Because at this point, if she can beat Kylo Ren, then this person, Rey, no longer has room to grow. So we need to give her some kind of, like, another reason why she's, like, so powerful. So what we'll do instead is that maybe when she gets to Maz's planet, she hears the Force coming, some voices coming from some part of the forest. So she gets drawn into the forest, and it's a dark side forest. Oh, man. And then she is just kind of there, and then she sees her vision or whatever, or some other vision or something. She gets back up to the ship, and she's talking to Kylo Ren. She can go ahead and notice that, like, she's only powerful when she's getting frustrated and angry. And when she's frustrated and angry, she gets to, like... She accidentally moves some kind of, like, lockpick or something that kind of lands in her hand, some kind of screwdriver, and she uses that to escape instead of, like, using the Force mind trick, because that's a little bit too much for now. And then in the fight in the forest, we'll just have it so that, oh, she's unintentionally accessing the dark side to, like, match Kylo Ren. She doesn't beat him, but she does manage to match him. But we can still have the Earth splitting again, so that way they can go their separate ways. They can't keep fighting.
Yeah, she gets the moment to run away.
Right, exactly. You know, just have her clearly getting angry when she's like, you're having to train me or something like that. And then she just, like, gets powered up by her anger and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just so we can really, you know, play with that. So there we go. That's Rey.
And then we have Kylo.
Kylo Ren can largely stay the same. I think the big problem with Jedi, like, characters as a concept, is that, like, they can do everything, but they never really do. So let's just kind of, like, depower him a bit. Let's just make sure that we have moments where, like, he's not doing crazy things that we've never seen him do before. Exactly. Just have him do regular Jedi things and focus on, like, his character and stuff like that. Otherwise, he can largely stay the same. Maybe he can taunt Finn during their fight or something, but that's it. Just have him do that kind of thing. But he'll largely stay the same. Kylo Ren, at least in this movie, is a generally effective character. At least as far as, like, the plot goes and him being a character and having character drama. So, yeah, that's more or less how we could fix it. I mean,
we could definitely go more into depth about all the things that are wrong.
I could go on forever.
Oh, like, I know. Like, I'm just here for moral support, David.
I know. Like, for realsies, though, if this is not our ideal version of, like, the sequel trilogy. If we actually did have an ideal version of the sequel trilogy,
it'd be completely different.
It'd be completely different. If you honestly want us to explore that kind of thing, let us know. But, I mean, this is just our fix for The Force Awakens. So, yeah.
Well, we hope that you enjoyed our banter.
I'm done.
On Force Awakens. David has been more or less waiting to, like, get things off of his chest, but also, like, dreading doing this today because it's a lot.
I may have to watch Last Jedi again. Can you believe that? And I may and I'm gonna have to watch Force Awakens already again. Oh God. Yeah. Oh God. Oh God.
When we recorded Captain Marvel last week, David was like, I watched Last Jedi for nothing.
Basically. Oh, God. Yeah. So, thank you all for watching. Or watching, oh god.
Listening.
Thanks you guys for listening. I did have a good time talking about it. And thanks for listening to me rant. I've had a good time, though.
Catch us again next week. We will be talking about...
Star Wars!
The Last Jedi!
The Last Jedi.
Yay!
Hooray! I'm dead inside.
So, David, what's a good movie people could tune into?
Just watch the original trilogy. Watch A New Hope. Watch the actual A New Hope. Just watch that movie. And you'll actually have a good idea what happens in Force Awakens, too.
Right.
It's almost one-to-one. It's really sad.
And you can catch both on Disney+.
Yep. So, get on that.
Yes. Well, have a great day. Weekend, week, and like, comment, subscribe, smash that like button.
Woo!
And we will see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.